Good evening, everyone. We're doing in Yaakov, and our learning should also be for the uplifting of the soul of Rav Ozeb and of Alexander HaKohen Berger, Zichrono Livracha. We're holding at the very end of the 13th chapter of Shabbat. What we had learned is that in Arizal, the Arizal said that when Hashem judges the world, so we know we are judged as individuals, we are judged as families, we are judged as a community, we are judged as a city, we are judged as a nation, we are judged as a landmass, we are judged as a world. There are different gradations of judgment that how Hashem judges the world. Sometimes you're judged not on the individual level. Hashem has judged that this continent will suffer X, Y, or Z. Sometimes a person is judged as a family, and sometimes as an individual. So Rav Chiya bar Abba taught us, what we learned last week, is that if a sibling passes away, so then all the other siblings have to worry. They have to wonder if this wasn't a judgment on all of them. We don't know. And then we learned one of the group, if you have a group, if you're part of a certain community and one of the friends passes away, then the whole community, all the friends there, have to be concerned. Some want to say this is specifically if the head of the group passed away, and others want to say if it's the smallest one in the group that passed away, because the question is which one's an inference to the rest. Is it that the smallest, that Hashem took away the smallest, but really Hashem's upset at the whole group? Or it's only if the biggest was taken away? And then we're concluding the chapter. The chapter over here had discussed the capturing of a bird. We know that one of the tasks that are prohibited on Shabbat is the task of tzad, the hunting, trapping, capturing. So this is relevant. Sometimes you have a wasp in the house. You want to catch it. You know you can't kill it. Can you catch it under a cup? Sometimes people have pet rabbits, and the rabbits find a way out of their pen, and you want to close up that exit that they dug. Are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara had discussed different types of birds and what's called capturing a bird. And the Gemara had said that there's a bird that even if you close the door and it's in the house, you didn't catch it. And the Gemara explains, we're talking about a special bird called Tzipor Dror. Tzipor Dror. Lefi she'ina mekabelet marut. This is a bird that never accepts the ownership. It never accepts anyone being boss over it. That bird is never going to respect anyone. It retains its freedom. The Braita tells us the reason the bird is called Doror is to indicate that it is dar. Wherever it lives, even if it's in a house, it's like it's out in the wild. It never becomes docile. A bird that's docile, a bird that's domesticated, so then you don't have to capture it. It'll come, it'll sit on your shoulder. And then around the house, it's considered like it's captured. It's not going anywhere. A tzipor dror, when you bring it into the house, it starts flying all over the place. It's not captured. You still have to catch it. You close the front door, you can't catch that bird. You can still spend another 2 hours trying to catch that bird in your house. So that's the attributes of a tzipor dror. Yes?
Not a particular bird. That is just a what? Is it referring to birds that are not domesticated in general, or is it...
No, it sounds like it's talking about a specific type of bird, okay, that even when it's in the house, it's not going to be docile. Some birds can get used to being in a house and calm down and realize there's nowhere to fly. Not the tzipor dror. He flies to every corner, he's all over the place. And even when you have him in the house, he's not considered as though he's caught. Okay. And with that, we conclude the 13th chapter of Shabbat, and we move on to the 14th chapter called Shemonash Ratzim. Amar Mao, Yosheva Kadosh Baruch Hu Vizan. Hashem takes care to feed Mikarnei Re'imim Ve'ad Bitzei Kinim. Hashem feeds from the horns of the Re'im. Re'im is a very large animal. The Gemara says that David HaMelech was once climbing a mountain, and then the mountain started shifting, and he realized it wasn't a mountain, it was this animal called a Re'im. So that's what the Gemara says, this animal is so big that you could mistake it for a mountain when you see it. Whether the Gemara meant this literally or not is a good question, because the word Re'im actually shows up in Torah. At the end of Torah, the Torah says, V'karnei Re'im Karnav. When Hashem gives the blessing in Vezot HaBracha to the tribe of Yosef, so it says, Yosef is compared to an ox, and his horns are compared to the horns of a Re'im. So that certainly sounds like there exists an animal called a Re'im, unless it's an imaginary animal, and the Torah was referencing it. Yes?
Do we know?
Depends who you ask.
we're asking you?
So Thursday night. On Thursday night we'll go through some of the opinions, but our general assumption is that we don't know. Our general assumption is that it's hard to say that such an animal exists, but it could be there are things that exist that we've never encountered. Anything can be, but yeah, from what we understand, this isn't a literal being. But again, the Gemara describes it as though it exists. The question is, did the Gemara mean it literally? So when the Gemara says Hashem feeds the largest animal, what's called Re'im, the horns of the Re'im, all the way to the smallest animal, which is the lice that just hatch out of their egg, Beitzei Kinim, the eggs of lice, which just as they hatch, so the little lice, they also get fed. Hashem takes care of everyone. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda quoted in the name of Rav. Yudbet Shaot Avi Ayom. We know that our day is divided into 12 hours. This is always the case because they use the day with a sundial. So on a sundial, you always have 12 hours. Your hour might consist of 60 minutes or 40 minutes, whatever, but you still have 12 hours in the day because you're always dividing the day into 12 equal segments. That's what we call in Hebrew, sha'ot zmaniot, that you're using hours, but they're really the division of the daylight hours. So we use that in halacha too. When we say you could read Shema until 3 hours in the day, it doesn't mean three hours of 60 minutes. It does not mean 180 minutes. Today, sunrise was when? Today, sunrise was about 5:50, yeah, about 5:45, right. When was sundown today? Let's say sunrise was 5:50, and sundown was, where are we now? We're in November, so sundown was about 5 o'clock. 4:45 was sundown. So that means that we had an 11-hour day. Right? So if we wanted to figure out to when can we read Shema, every hour we take this 11-hour day, we say, do the math. 12 times 60 is 720, but you don't have 12 hours. You have 11 hours. Divide 11 by 12. 11 divided by 12. Ooh, you're doing it? No, let's do minutes. 11 hours, 11 times 60 minutes. So it's that's 660 divided by 12. That means 50. How'd you get 720? Again, 11 times 60.
Yeah.
That's 660 divided by 12. Uh-huh. So every hour is going to be that. You have 11
hours.
55 minute hours. That's very nice. So we know, let's say sunrise was 5:50. 3 hours later, 3 times 55. So that means 2 hours and 45 minutes later. So if sunrise was today at 5:45, that means that at 8:30 was the last time you could read Shema. Okay? You divided the day into 12 equal segments. 3 hours into the day. It happens to be it was 8:40. So we're off by something. Could be sunrise was a little earlier, a little later.
Sunrise was later.
How? What time was sunrise?
Sunrise was at, well, tomorrow morning is 5:59.
Okay, so let's say tomorrow morning at 6. Okay, so that's where you get those 10 minutes. Coming back to here. So when we speak about the day being 12 hours long, we're talking about those 12 segments, like you would use a sundial. Gimel shot rishonot yishev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'osek b'Torah. First 3 hours of the day, Hashem is dealing in Torah. Shniyot yoshev adan kol olam kulo. Second set of hours, Hashem judges the world. Shlishit yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zan et kol olam kulo. The third set of hours, the end of the day, Hashem is ensuring that all the world gets fed. Mikanei reimim ad bitzei kinim. Yeah. I don't know. We have to look this up. This isn't the Gemara here. This he's quoting from a Gemara in Avot Zara. I don't remember what's on the fourth set of three. Okay. I don't know. Those who are listening online should not say amen. I'm making a bracha. It's not live. You guys can say amen, but the listeners should not. Baruch atah Adonai. Eloheinu melech ha'olam. Shakol nye bidvarei.
Amen.
Okay. The Gemara is about to enter a discussion which is very important to us, because it really caused an explosive discussion in the last two centuries. The discussion is about lice. Why is that so important? Because up until approximately two centuries ago, the world believed there was something called spontaneous generation. The world believed that things can suddenly appear out of nowhere. And the world believed that when you had different worms that developed in meat, that was out of thin air. And in the Talmud, we also find that the Talmud subscribed to the understanding that there are things that do not procreate. And one of the things the Talmud says do not procreate is lice. And so the Talmud says, being that lice do not procreate, you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. So now modern day science tells us lice do procreate, but the rabbis of the Talmud couldn't see the lice. They couldn't see what was going on. It's too tiny to see. So then the question becomes, okay, now that we know what we know, what do we say? All the people who killed lice for the last 2,000 years, they were all sinners. Well, they weren't sinners. They did the best they could. The Torah is given to the people who understand. So I don't have to judge them. That's fine. I have to understand what the halacha is for me. Am I allowed to kill lice on Shabbat? So here, the understanding breaks down. There are different opinions among the rabbis. And the generally accepted opinion, I shouldn't say that, but one of the greater opinions goes like this. If the rabbis of the Talmud said that lice don't procreate, the rabbis were not discussing the physical understanding, the scientific understanding of what happens with lice. What the rabbis were telling you is that whatever they undergo is so minuscule that from a halachic perspective, that's considered like it didn't happen. It's not that they're saying, we're telling you scientifically what happens with lice. They're telling you halachically. You want to know how we treat lice? From our perspective, it's considered like it came out of thin air. It's so minuscule that we don't see it until it hatches, until you see the lice, or until you see the eggs, until somehow they reproduce. So from our end, that's considered like there's no real reproduction going on. There's nothing that happens that can be seen that can be treated halachically as reproduction. And so if they weren't discussing the scientific truth, but rather they were defining for us a halachic definition, then that definition stands till today. That's the question. If they were discussing science and then they just didn't know, so then halacha changes now that we do know. if they were not discussing science, but rather they were telling you a halachic definition of what goes on, then that stands. And this argument was summarized in an encyclopedia that was written a century ago called the Pachad Yitzchak, not to be confused with the famous Pachad Yitzchak that was written only half a century ago by Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. And this was a big argument among the rabbis, and you can understand that it's relevant till today. This argument affects many areas of halacha. There's a Rambam, as scientific as the Rambam is, there's a Rambam that discusses certain creatures that today, as far as we understand, the Rambam misunderstood science. Rambam in his enumeration of mitzvot. So now the question again becomes, is he defining science for me, or is he telling me a halachic definition, and science is just, he's using the science he has. We have this in many areas of halacha. This comes up, this pops up, and again, you have to ask your rabbi how we treat it. With regards to lice, it's not so relevant because we basically assume that we're not sure which lice the Talmud was talking about. There are different creatures. There's lice, there is fleas, and even though they're not the same, but they do tend to pester people, and it's not obvious to the rabbis of a millennium ago which one is the flea and which is the louse. The rabbis had an argument. Is the black one that jumps, what we call today a flea, is that the flea, and the lice is what we call lice today, or did the names get switched in Hebrew? And really the one that jumps, the little black one that jumps, a flea is very quick. You can't, it's very hard to catch a flea. A louse is very slow. When you see lice moving, they were very, very slowly, their movement. They fall here, they fall there, but their movement is very slow. So they're very different, the lice and the fleas. But the question is, which one did the rabbi say it's permissible to kill on Shabbat and which one not? So we'll just end with this quote. Once we started discussing how Hashem feeds everything down to the lice, so we conclude with a halachic discussion about lice, where he says like this, Why is it permissible to kill lice? Says Rav Yosef, because they don't procreate. So you can apply everything we just said about whether that's a scientific or a halachic definition. So Abaye asked his Rebbe Rav Yosef. Abaye learned by Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was blind. He was a super genius who knew all of Shas by heart. And Abaye, who was one of the great rabbis of Talmud, he was orphaned as a child. His father died while his mother was pregnant, and his mother died during childbirth. So Abaye was an orphan from the day he was born. And he grew up, he learned by Rav Yosef. So he said to Rav Yosef, V'chinayin para v'rava, is that true that lice don't procreate? V'amamal yushev kadosh b'chu v'zan k'nei reimim ad b'tzei k'nim. Minahu demikre b'tzei k'nim. Matanya tfuyeyu b'tzei k'nim. Minahu demikre b'tzei k'nim. Okay, so he goes into a discussion. If Hashem is feeding the eggs of the lice, so then that certainly sounds like they procreate. That's how the Gemara understands it. And then the Gemara answers that it's not the way he understood it. And so that's why he says we call it that, but it doesn't mean that they actually procreate the way we would assume in order to hatch an egg. We call it the eggs of the lice, but it's not the same like a chicken lays an egg, so you know the chicken procreates. When a lice lays an egg, that's not the same thing, and that's why it's not considered procreation. Okay, so today, what did we discuss? We discussed that Hashem feeds the world, down to the smallest, even the eggs of the louse. We discussed the idea of the bird that you never becomes docile or domesticated. We discussed Shots Maniot, how we divide a day in halacha, the 12-hour division, like a sundial. And we discussed areas where halacha and science conflict. How do we understand the rabbis' discussion of science? Were they defining science for us, or were they defining halachic definitions for us? And the ramifications of that. Okay.